Every so often you might hear somebody say to another person, "It's all about you, isn't it?" Well, there are some people who might not choose to use those words, but it is all about them. We will spend this hour talking about narcissists, what makes them tick, and how we can best handle being around them. Our source for the discussion is the book Freeing Yourself from the Narcissist in Your Life. Linda Martinez-Louis wrote it. She's a marriage and family therapist and clinical expert on the narcissistic personality disorder and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Linda, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me as a guest. It's a pleasure.
So what drew you in the first place to a study of narcissists?
In my clinical practice, I saw consistent patterns in clients and heard their stories. Mainly these were women. Now, there are statistically many more male narcissists than there are female narcissists, but the female narcissists are growing quickly. So I would hear these stories, especially in marriages or in situations with, in quotes, friends or other relatives, siblings, daughters, and sons of narcissistic parents. And this would occur, obviously, in their home or at work with friends. And they were really unable to lead their lives. And as a result, at the time, I was studying personality disorders, and I became intrigued by the narcissistic personality, and I began to see it all around me, both personally and also through my clients and through other individuals whom I knew who were dealing with narcissists in their lives.
Do we have any reliable figures on what percentage of the population might be narcissistic?
Some of the figures are saying something as low as 4%, but it's much higher than that, especially in this particular current climate in the society. The society tends to be narcissistic. Not everyone, but recently there was a book that was done by Dr. Twenge out here in, I live in the San Diego area. And they did a book, and they're called The Narcissistic Epidemic. And it was a very deep study that they did on college students. It's a large study, and they showed that a very high percentage, 30% of the young people, were classified as narcissistic according to this widely used psychological test that they had done. It's a large population. And that number had doubled in the last 30 years. Another one of their studies that they reported showed that there's been a 40% decline among young people in empathy. So you can see that this was an attribute that was inversely related to narcissism since the 1980s.
All right, so the less empathy you have, the more likely you are to be narcissistic?
Yes, you know, it can depend. Certainly a lack of empathy is the keystone or is the way of really knowing that person is a narcissist. But there are people that lack empathy because they're so deeply upset themselves that they're self-absorbed. So everyone that's self-absorbed is not a narcissist. But not being able to feel or to understand the situation that another person is in or to understand how they're feeling and to be there for them, to be able to put oneself in their place at all is an indication of a lack of empathy. And with them, it is complete. However, those that are, from time to time, in my book, I talk about what I call high-level narcissists. Mm-hmm. These are people who are so smooth and so persuasive, and you said, you know, they're so magnetic and irresistible. They are able to affect a kind of pseudo-empathy, which is very convincing.
Convinces them, too, it sounds like.
You know, that's a very insightful thing you're saying. They're convinced of that. And there is nothing, they truly believe that they are perfect and superior. So, and they do believe their empathy. At the time, they're like method actors many times, often. excellent method actors. So they believe what they are saying at that time. And then when that time is over, particularly if that's center stage, which is often, when the lights go off and the event is over, whatever it is, then they completely, you know, go back to who they really are and become obnoxious and difficult and all of that. But they are tremendous performers.
The high-level narcissists that you give, and you give examples of some major names of the book, Ayn Rand, Picasso, Frank Lloyd Wright among them, did any of them ever admit to being narcissists or even thinking that it was possible?
No. They were quite the opposite, actually. I mean, they didn't say, I'm not a narcissist, but they certainly led their lives that way. So that they, from the beginning, and of course, these individuals, I mean, were highly talented. I mean, and that was one of the reasons that fascinated me. I thought, in order to help other people and myself to understand the narcissist deeply, wouldn't it be a great idea to go do short psychobiographies in the book, and to actually show in their life history how narcissistic they were, because they were to the extreme. And yet in the world, I mean, you know, how iconic can you get with either Lloyd Wright or Pablo Picasso or Ayn Rand? And then I also used Armin Hammer, who's less well known, but he's the famous industrialist.
All right, I do want to get to each of these in turn. We will talk much more with Linda Martinez-Lewis. Her book is Freeing Yourself from the Narcissist in Your Life. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Let's hear the examples. Let's hear the thoughts about people you've had to deal with in these situations as we talk more with Linda about narcissists when we return from this break. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Linda Martinez-Lewis and your phone calls and emails in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is marriage and family therapist Linda Martinez-Lewis, PhD. She's the author of the book Freeing Yourself from the Narcissist in Your Life, at work, at home, with friends. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about narcissism and how it manifests itself in the people who carry it around and how we respond to that. 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Linda, you write that there is a gift high-level narcissists bestow upon us. What is that?
It is a gift.
It is a gift that they bestow upon us.
Well, it can be a gift, and of course it is a gift that keeps on giving if we don't learn how to deal with them or how to actually put them out of our lives, because they do not change. So ultimately, in many ways, it is a gift because it can wake us up to the fact that this person is impossible and tends to take over our lives if we, for example, are married to them. If we marry a narcissist, our lives no longer belong to us, in a sense, mm-hmm. because they must always be in control and always, they're constantly manipulating their spouses. Even these really strong individuals who are very bright and have a lot of creative gifts and are ambitious and, you know, driven and all of this, I see them living in the shadow of their narcissistic spouse. And you, very often, I don't want to pick on the men here, but it is true that there are more men, more male narcissists. And so you're going to, in my instances, certainly in my telephone consultations, I have many more women who have been in marriages, for example, or partnerships with narcissistic men. Now, in some cases, they can wake up and realize who this person is and separate and individuate out from them in their own personalities, but it normally involves a divorce. from this person, because it's very difficult to live with a narcissist.
Because the narcissist thinks they're getting all they need from themselves, it sounds like.
Well, they're getting what they need. You're right. They are getting, they're feeding off their very inflated egos. But part of this is also their need for their voracious appetite for narcissistic supply, praise, adulation, fame, money. Nothing that there's wrong with making money. There isn't. But they take it to such an extreme degree. And so what they're doing with the partner is they are putting the partner in shadow and constantly projecting their unconscious impulses, self-hatred, feelings, volcanic rage onto the partner. And in addition, now if they're very high level, they find they have, like, for example, someone like Pablo Picasso. He didn't have to really go anywhere other than to do his tremendous art in order to attract other people and to magnetize people to him, because, you know, he'd go in a restaurant and everybody was wanting his signature or wanting to talk to him or whatever. But in his life, he destroyed so many people, almost everybody around him, and their lives ended up in some kind of tragedy. So the only person that really survived him at all was Françoise Gillot, which is a woman with whom he had two children, Paloma and Claude. She did not marry him, and she was able to extricate herself from him. But everybody else around him, there were several people committed suicide. His last wife committed suicide. He had sons that, you know, one son swallowed bleach or Drano, something like that, and died. And he just left everyone around him in ruins, including all his mistresses. He had many, many mistresses. I believe he had four wives and children. So in his personal life, in terms of what happened to the people around him, was a complete disaster. The same it was also the case with Frank Lloyd Wright as well. Not quite as dramatic, but you know, he left his first wife with abandoned six children, had a flaming affair with one of his clients in Europe, and then he had many other, you know, women around him too as well. And he finally married a woman that just adored him and then saw him to the very end and fuse with him psychologically. Some spouses fuse with the narcissist so that they no longer are themselves. They don't continue to grow as individual selves.
Do we have a sense for what creates a narcissist? I can't imagine there's something genetic or cellular, but what do I know?
Well, you know a lot, Jeffrey. I mean, I can tell from the questions you're asking. You're very thoughtful about this subject. As far as we know, there is no genetic, there is no narcissistic gene. It appears that the narcissist begins, it's done through, usually through the parents. Not always, though, but it usually happens that way. The classical, which you probably know about, is that there will be a mother, for example, in Frank Lloyd Wright's case, and in many other cases, usually a mother, or it can be a father, who is often narcissistic herself and decides that she's going to create a golden child. How consciously that is depends on the particularly individual mother. So that child is chosen for very special reason, having to do with how attractive they are physically, how talented they are, if they have creative talents, how athletic they may be, if they're musical, if they're some kind of a genius, of some kind, a prodigy. Those traits, they look for those traits. They may have several children. Let's say they have four children, but then they seize on this one child, and that child becomes golden to them. As a result, and this starts very early in the child's upbringing, that child is singled out to be the one, the chosen one. And there are no limits put on the child. They are not required to behave a certain way. They are allowed to do whatever they want. They can be cruel to the other siblings. All that matters is that they are a mirror reflection of the perfection of that parent. So they develop what's called a false grandiose self, which is they become, as I say, the mirror and the echo of that parent. This way, they form this other self, and that grows and that becomes stronger and more powerful as they get the parents' accolades and their belief that they're going to be superior. Mrs. Wright, Frank Lloyd Wright's mother, is very classically did this with her son. She knew he was going to become an architect from the beginning, and she nurtured that. And obviously, he had the talent. Very, you know, early on, and it was obvious that he was a very talented architect and creator, a visionary. But as a result, they don't develop. First, the other part of this is they don't develop a conscience. The narcissist does not develop a conscience. A primitive conscience begins at about the age of three, and this is through the parents. And then it solidifies more at about the age of about seven or eight. But they don't develop that. Now, they know not to, the narcissist knows not to be stupid enough to get caught doing something they're not supposed to do, although many of them go over the lines and become blur into sociopathy, what are called socialized sociopaths.
But generally, they're not considered antisocial, is that right?
No, they're not considered antisocial. Absolutely not, because they're often socially very skilled, and ironically, as much as they do not have insight, they do not introspect. They know exactly how to key in on other people's vulnerabilities, others' desires, maybe secret desires that other person has. They know how to play people. Beautifully.
We're talking to Linda Martinez Louie about her book, Freeing Yourself from the Narcissist in Your Life, at Home, at Work, with Friends. Linda Martinez Louie is a marriage and family therapist based in San Diego. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about people who are really tied up in themselves and make sure that the rest of us are as well. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Linda, does the narcissist ever notice the wreckage they're leaving behind or care much about it when it's pointed out to them?
No, they really don't want it pointed out. And I've had clients who have brought literature to them and shown them or usually will tell them, you know, I've been doing this research and I've discovered that you are a narcissist. Oh, my God. That does not go over well with these people. They get so infuriated by that. They do not, in my experience and also in all the research and reading that I have done, acknowledge that they are. I've had a couple people think that they were narcissists, but they were not. But the true narcissists know. They're too taken up with, it's what's, in psychoanalytic or psychodynamic thinking, it's what's called egocentric, meaning that the person is very comfortable being who they are, and they don't question it, and they expect everyone else to march to their tune. So they do not question themselves at all about who they are. The problem is always with the other person, not with them.
They always expect perfection from the other person, as you point out, but what do the narcissists expect from him or herself? Are they always perfect in their minds?
No. Well, there's certainly a disaster in their personal life, that I can tell you. Through and through, I have not ever seen a situation where a narcissist was doing well in their personal lives, because they're incapable of any kind of emotional intimacy. That's another red flag. There are another way of identifying them. They're incapable of any kind of true closeness at all. Their ruthlessness, their ability to manipulate, to control, and also their they tend to have these big visions. Can be and is often very successful in the world. And as you look around, and think, I'm not going to name any names, but as you look around, many corporations, business situations with people who are very high level and mid-level, I mean, they can be at any level, and certainly in government and in our Western civilization and also in other, I imagine, other parts all over the world, you will see that many, many people at the very top are narcissistic, highly so, but they're so smooth on the surface. But then when that door shuts and they're behind closed doors in privacy, all bets are off, the masks are off, they're in volcanic rage, they're screaming, they're projecting out their venom onto the people who are in their private lives.
Well, in fact, part two of the book is called Behind the Perfect Mask. I should point out the book is in four sections: The Great Performer, Behind the Perfect Mask, The Adoring Audience, and Response to the Great Performer in part four. Behind the Perfect Mask, you were just talking about, though, is there a truly hurt person back there, a person with a victim complex, or is it quite the opposite, where this person just thinks, hey, this is just good stuff I'm giving out here. You all really need to be part of this.
Well, that's what happens exactly on the surface of it. But beneath that mask is this unendurable emptiness and deep feelings of self-loathing. They hate themselves beneath the surface because you have what's called a very damaged real self. He has since died a few years ago, a brilliant psychiatrist, James Masterson, talked about this, about the fact that, and also Otto Kernberg is another very famous, he's still alive, very famous, who's done a lot of research and work, both of these men, on what's going on inside the narcissist, what is really happening to the real self. While the false grandiose self is developing and kind of takes over the personality, beneath the surface is this person who really hates himself or herself, and who feels this emptiness, which is absolutely intolerable. It's a subjective emptiness that Kernberg talks about, that person cannot tolerate inside. So as a result, these are very restless people. But what's there is so deep because it's been covered over for so long by this false self, which started to develop very, very early. Almost, you know, from the beginning. So that's the way that kind of works.
All right, let's take some calls here. We have Vajra in Sunny Valley on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Linda Martinez-Louis. We're talking about narcissists.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Martinez, for this book. It's so incredibly important because it names what myself, I went through 6 years with neighbors and then also leaders and a local 501c3, that I couldn't understand why they couldn't see, you know, if you come from heart and honesty, see who you are. You know, they're trying to cancel our water rights and don't allow access to property, just releasing their dogs on us. And it took me 6 years of beating my head against this until I finally read a book that describes malignant narcissism. It differs a little from what you're saying, but in all other points it's the same. And that was by M. Scott Peck, a book called People of the Lie.
It's an excellent book, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and he maintains that the people have negated their conscience. He says he believes they have a conscience, but they negated it so much that it's so buried that they live in terror, and the kind of terror you were just talking about letting anything leak up that they could do anything wrong whatsoever. And so then they have a scapegoat, which was myself and my husband in this particular situation. But the gift was I woke up. I became disillusioned and I saw what was really there. And then the compassion that you're describing, it just makes my heart break that these people are in such agony. It doesn't excuse them, you know.
Mm. But
and you
certainly
can't trust them.
Yeah, but that was their gift to you, was realizing that they had something wrong.
You got a tremendous gift there, Vajra, and I give you so much credit for working that through. It's so that you could continue to see, you were there and awaken to this. So many individuals are not. So you will spread the word about this, because it's really is epidemic in our society today. It is highly rewarded. So, and I'm glad that you've recovered from this. And yes, it's most actually it is a tragedy that this person becomes this way. They didn't ask to be this way, but I protect. My role is to really protect individuals who are at the mercy of these narcissistic personalities.
All right. So we'll talk more about how you can deal with narcissistic personalities and whether people who are narcissists can actually get better over time. We'll talk about that when we return with Linda Martinez-Louis. Her book is Freeing Yourself from the Narcissist in Your Life, at Home, at Work, with Friends. Numbers here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Back with Linda Martinez-Louis and you when we come back to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 25. Back on the Jefferson Exchange, final segment here. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is therapist Linda Martinez-Louis. She's written a book about narcissists, Freeing Yourself from the Narcissist in Your Life. You can join this discussion on the Jefferson Exchange about the people who really do feel like they have it all, and you should know that as well. And they do create some real wreckage in their personal lives. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to Cecilia in Gold Hill. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Fascinating discussion. But I am still a little confused about what's the difference between narcissism, like she's talking about, and sociopath. I read this book not too long ago called The Sociopath Next Door, and it sounds like same personality.
Yeah, interesting.
So I just like that clarified, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Great question. Thanks for that, Cecilia.
Good question, Cecilia. Yes. Well, there is a difference. Often there is a blurring between the two. When we think of the antisocial personality or the sociopath, that is an individual who acts out in a criminal way very often. It can be white-collar crime or it can be violent crime, but they are very hardened, and they don't care whether they don't care about their image, a public image. They can, in a sense, if they're white-collar criminals, but if they are of the violent kind, they really don't care. They don't have, also, many of them lack impulse control. So they don't fit into the social milieu the way the narcissist does. So the narcissist may act out doing many, certainly they're immoral and unethical and do illegal acts often, but they make sure that what they do is not discovered. So they may hire, let's say if they have a big business of some kind, or they're in a field where they have a lot of power, they will make sure that they hire attorneys who will go through all the loopholes for them. And they will go over the edges of the law, but they make sure that they never get caught. So their idea of a conscience is in not getting caught. But they do not engage in physical violence.
So is a narcissist just a sociopath with money then? Is that what you're saying?
It can be, yes. It can be, but the difference usually is in the level of violence. I mean, in the cases of the narcissist who does a lot of acting out, their violence is done behind closed doors, generally, and it's psychological and emotional. Mm-hmm. However, they can also fleece other people and destroy someone professionally or in their business without blinking an eye. a narcissist can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they will if they're allowed to, because they're exceedingly ruthless and do not have the conscience. But they have enough of a in quotes conscience not to get caught, because that affects their image, and for them their image is reality.
Let us take another call. Here's Jacob in Springfield. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Linda Martinez. Louis, we're talking about freeing yourself from the narcissist in your life.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to just quibble with some things. When you say, like, Picasso and Frank Lloyd Wright were narcissists, these men just happen to have gifts. And you have to separate that out from their personality. And I think there are a lot of narcissists who probably don't have gifts. And, you know, they're just selfish. They're seen as selfish people, and a lot of them are in prison because they don't see how they did wrong. Okay, but I also want to point out that narcissism, it's about me. And our culture and our materialism is about me to our extent. That's how advertising portrays it. And we're all kind of narcissistic in some way. You know, we're on a spectrum, and you're talking about probably the most extreme narcissist whose personality interferes with their everyday interactions and how they lead their life. And I think it's like that with any personality trait. If you are at the extreme end of a spectrum, you really become dysfunctional. I also want to just bring up one last thing about culture, that narcissism seems like it's endemic within our culture. Facebook, people who blog about what they eat, you know, people who have thousands and thousands of followers, and they boast about it on Twitter, and everything about rap culture, it's all about narcissism. But that's just sort of talking the culture. In some ways, that's what we're encouraged to be, and that's how society is moving. But the other thing is, I think the American Academy of Psychiatrists, in their latest DSM-5, advocates that narcissism is overdiagnosed, and they're kind of taking it down a notch from the personality disorder spectrum.
Okay, thanks for the comments, Jacob, and let's focus on that.
You have a lot to say, Jacob, and some excellent comment and excellent observations. With the DSM-5, there's a tremendous fury over that. And
among other things, there are furies over with DSM.
Yeah, with the DSM. So, but he's well informed in many ways, and has brought some wonderful, incredible points up to bear here. One of them being is that certainly the culture, especially now, I think within the last 15 years even, is galloping towards narcissism. I mean, being narcissistic, having narcissistic traits, is the way to win. And to have power and money and influence in the world. And I also find that there may not be narcissists, but that people who are exceedingly successful are quite ruthless. That doesn't mean they're narcissists, but when push comes to shove, they're going to get it their way. And if someone has to suffer as a result of it, they have to suffer, and these people do sleep at night. So, yes, I say that's true. Now, he's talking also about Facebook and, yeah, the culture of celebrity, the culture of having the I, and the back and forth on the internet and all of that, that can be very narcissistic. There's also a point that can be made with regard to this, and that is we all need healthy narcissism, which is healthy self-respect and care for ourselves. And that's part of the healing process that I talk about also when we're healing from a narcissist, particularly in a very deep situation in a marriage. Part of the healing process is self-care, and that's very important. So often people who align themselves in their lives in a marriage partnership, or they have friends or business associates, part of what I work with is to help that individual who has been so badly treated for maybe 30 years even, or shorter periods of time, to learn self-care. We have to learn how to take care of ourselves again in a way that we never did or never taught to do when we were children.
And here's another call from Katie in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about narcissists with therapist Linda Martinez-Louis.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was married to a narcissist for 27 years, raised 3 children with him. He happened to be a surgeon in the medical profession, and I his narcissism clearly came from his father. I at the time when I married him, I was very young. There is a 10-year age difference, and like you said, he knew how to get inside me and find my vulnerabilities and get married and da 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 da. And he, the power and the hunger, even though he was making oodles of money at the time, he didn't need more money. But he found a way to take my inheritance. I had to sign a prenuptial, you know, all these different things. More, there was never enough. There was never enough to the point where he got caught embezzling in his practice. It was horrible. The fact that not enough money was, there was never enough there. And I should have seen many things when I was married to him, but I guess I most clearly saw the inheritance of this narcissism from his father. I never met his mother. She died in the armchair in the living room, weighing 350 pounds, eating her Twinkies from under the couch. But now I know why, because I said to him once, "Mr. So-and-so, could you please tell the children about their grandmother?" And he looked at me and he said, "Why would I want to do that?" And I said, "Well, you were married to her for over, you know, 40 years. They know nothing about their grandmothers." He goes, "There's nothing to know." And he went on and on about himself.
Wow.
And I thought, my God, here's a man who was married to a woman for 30 years. But he, as Frank Lloyd Wright did, took off, joined the CBs, had affairs overseas, would come home, was a structural engineer, would get his wife pregnant and then leave and then come back. And so the narcissist in my life, his son, grew up with this. He became familiar with it at a young age. So for him, it was normal. It was the way he saw life. And he never, ever, ever considered anything he did wrong. And even when he was caught embezzling in his practice, it was their problem.
Wow. That's an amazing story, Katie.
Really,
thanks for that.
You're quite a lady. I'll tell you that I am so proud of you. That you are an incredible individual. You individuated out from this man to lead your own life, and you understand this through and through so well. And you are strong, and you're very intelligent. You have many gifts, and I applaud you. And thank you so much for contributing your story. It is invaluable, you have said.
That's a real story of wreckage, though, which it sounds fairly typical that the narcissist will just...
It's a typical story. Now, she has survived this. I know she's probably not on the air right now, but, boy, more power to her, because mm-hmm. a lot of women and men do not. They get so... 27-year marriage, 3 children... All this embezzlement going on and everything happening, and he's always right. And you better believe he screamed volcanic rage at her constantly. So, but she has resurrected her own life. You can hear it in the power of that voice of hers.
All right, Katie,
she's speaking the truth.
Katie, thanks so much for sharing that story. Let's go to Susan in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Linda Martinez Louie. We're talking about narcissists.
As I'm listening, so many more things are coming to my brain, like thinking about cultures and how some cultures, they tend to nurture narcissism in the men of the culture and keeping the women in servitude. So I think it, you know, it's, and I watched this as I was growing up. I was watching my aunt create a narcissist. And I would sit there in total astonishment. I couldn't believe it, because that didn't happen in my family, in my house, but it happened in this house, and it was my cousin, and she ended up leaving a wake of destruction in her path. And what was interesting is she married a narcissist.
Yeah, and, so that makes sense.
And but their relationship was very destructive. But anyway, it's just interesting. And I've never had a name to put on what was being done to my cousin. And my aunt was, it was
the whole golden child.
She didn't know
thing,
she was doing it. She didn't say, "I'm going to create a narcissist."
No.
It was obvious. She was married to a narcissist, and so she was doing same thing to her child.
Wow. Right, the cycle of repetition, and how observant of you as a child to be able to watch this and see it and know that there was something very wrong and very off about it. And then to see then what happened, because she was grooming this person. She was molding him. And you saw it. And that's profound as a child to recognize that. And to be able to, also your point about the cultures, indeed, there are very patriarchal cultures that value the men who are can do no wrong, and the women who are just, you know, they just take care of the men, or they are, you know, put to the side, and they're not recognized as individuals. And that still exists in our in many societies today. Thank you so much. Those are very astute observations.
Yeah, some interesting stories we're getting here. So just we only have about a minute left, but I mean, what are some of the basic steps that people need to keep in mind when having to confront a narcissist, like in the workplace?
Well, it gets to be tricky, but it can be done. First of all, as this lady was talking about and some of your other callers, it's very important to learn to recognize that the individual is a narcissist quickly, because that way then you know what the traits are, you know that this person is going to be projecting onto you, and you know how to work with it. The first is to work on yourself and to keep yourself empowered and strong in your own integrity and in your own uniqueness. And that can be done, that's very often done internally by working to be calmer, to be more detached. You can work on maintaining, where some people they do a stilling of the mind, body mind through meditation and that kind of thing. Meditation, even acupuncture is an incredible way to get into what's called the parasympathetic nervous system. Now, at work, in work situations, it's very important to draw boundaries with these people, even though they tend to go over them all the time. Mm-hmm. But to make it clear to them that, you know, who you are. Once with some of them, when they know who we are, truly, they do tend to back off.
Mm-hmm. All right, good advice all around. The book is called Freeing Yourself from the Narcissist in Your Life. Linda Martinez-Louis wrote it. She's been our guest on The Exchange. Linda, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed being your guest. I appreciate it very much, and the wonderful questions of your listeners. Thank you again, Jeffrey.
All right, take care. That'll do it for today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Bradley, our producer and today's engineer, Charlotte Duren. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon on another edition of the Jefferson Exchange. Have a great day.